our last guest of the week. And what a way to go out. Brent Gunning, co-host of Leafs Nation. Gunner, how's it going this morning?
I'm literally dancing in my seat.
Right?
You guys got me fired up.
I started singing this.
Santos on
what
the
a
wheels
team.
Of steel.
In the break, I was singing this to myself. It's just like, it's like my body clock knew. 8 a.m. Friday.
Here's the tune. All right, Gunner, yesterday, the dads in attendance got us thinking what your ride home from sports was like with the parents. You have a bad game. You have a good game. You know, was it one of those quiet, disappointed in you, or was it loud and rowdy in that car?
It was a lot of, hey, Brent, it's going to be okay. It's only a game.
Oh.
You don't need to take it so seriously. Did not just lose game 7 of the Stanley Cup final at 8 a.m. on Saturday morning. Maybe dial it back a little, kid. Yes, that was the prevailing sentiment in all car rides home for me.
The intensity was coming from your end, not from the front seat.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Steaming. I was a hothead. It was not good. So, I did not take losing well. And even if we won, I probably feel like there were some things that could have gone better. So, yeah, I was a little perfectionist-y, very hard on myself. So, yes, it was very much the, come lie down on the couch and talk about this, as opposed to, what's wrong with you? Get pucks in deep and bear down.
Was that temperament tested when Bobby McCann's first NHL goal was taken off the board last night?
Boy, was it. My co-host on Leafs Nation post-game, or all throughout the games, Gord Stellick can attest, I am a big table banger when a goal goes in. Gave a big yeah! And then I had to walk it back. I was forlorn. I was crushed. What an awesome moment. Guys, dad's in the box. And, you know, as far as the game went as well, I mean, it completely changed the game. Now, not to take the Leafs off the hook in any regard, it was 30 seconds in. They could have got it back on the rails. But, yeah, that puck, well, not if it goes in the net. It did go in the net. But if it's deemed a good goal from a kicking motion, which, you know, who knows? It's like a catch in the NFL these days. It just felt like a completely different game. So, yeah, I did have to dial it back a little bit. I was not happy, but there were many things that made me unhappy in that game.
Oh, right. Well, I mean, it's tough to start off 30 seconds into the game with something like that. Heartbreaking for the kid. You know, might be his only chance to get an NHL goal. Who knows? But we talked about this rule, and I know the rule is the rule. Yes, everybody that puts up the screenshot of the rule book, we know. But how do we make this better? Because it's sad. He didn't kick it into the net. I understand that there was a kicking motion, but do they need to overhaul, get the backspace button out, rewrite these rules? Are we always going to have these discussions about goaltender interference, the offsides, and then kicking motions? Like, can we have nice things, or is that not an NHL standard?
No, we definitely can't have nice things, especially if officiating is going to be involved. But this one I actually don't have as much of a problem with, because the thing I like about the rule, and I want to be clear, I'm with everybody. If he kicks that puck and it goes to his skate or it goes to his stick, and then if deflects in or he shoots it in, then it's a good goal. And we're talking about what a great hockey play and his awareness to use his feet to get it up there. I understand that. But I actually like that there is not this gray area, because whenever there is gray area in the rules, this is when we have all our big arguments. Look at goaltender interference. It's, well, I mean, he kind of touched him, you know, what do you want? He was impeding his space. No, he wasn't. He had room to move. And that's where we have the least agreement, it feels like, on these goals. So I am with everybody in the frustration, but in the guise of player safety and not wanting kicks around the crease, which, hey, that's an argument I can hear or not hear depending on the day, but I actually don't have a problem with that rule, because there is a black and white interpretation to it, and we don't have to have the, well, I see it this way, I see it that way. So I like that there is a kind of clear delineation. I don't like the end result of it, but I don't have a problem with them trying to have more clarity in the rule.
Ooh, I see a lot of gray area. I see, like, last year, what was it, Chandler Stephenson, like, opening skate up, and it looked like there was forward momentum, and the same thing happens. I forget the Leaf forward who scored in that way. Like, it just seems like they're guessing, and I guess, like, that's a kick. It's a kicking motion. The puck is going away from the net, which is interesting, and it doesn't hit a stick on the way in. Like, I get all that stuff, but, like, no one in the building had that pegged for a kicked-in goal. Not a single person. I don't even think the coach, I don't even know how the challenge or the review was initiated, but nobody was thinking that, and yet it still happened. So I'm a human error guy. Let's just, like, see what happens on the ice. No review. But once you're half in, you're in. And I feel like if you're going to be in and you're going to review these things, you need to make it, you need to have every little base covered. And I feel like one simple thing for kicking the puck would be, hey, if it's kicked toward the goal, sure. If it's kicked away from the goal, maybe if it takes a bounce, it should count.
I hear where you're saying, what you're saying on that. And again, like, I look at that play and I think that should count as a goal. But I just, it goes to the idea that you're never going to please anyone because, okay, you say, well, if it's kicked towards the goal, well, is it a kick or a stopping motion? Then we're into that gray area as well. So I think there is definitely room. You know, what did they have back in the day when they were testing out like the weird shaped nets or larger nets? Have a player development camp, get a bunch of AHL guys, get a bunch of junior guys. Try out these rules. Create scenarios where this play would be under review. What does it look like? What makes sense? I think the league should continue to try to experiment with it, but I think that they're on the right path with the idea of trying to have less gray area there. Because, again, not to turn the whole thing into the officiating last night, but, I mean, when there's gray area and there's wiggle room, you see tons of stuff getting missed both ways. Connor Garland got punched in the face last night, no call. Like, it's just the NHL officiating is in a really weird spot. So where my head is at on it is let's take away the wiggle room. Let's just say this is a penalty or this is a kick or this is not. Try to get rid of the gray area because, quite frankly, I don't believe in their ability to operate in it right now.
That is fair. That is fair. Was it fair that Sheldon Keefe decided to not roll William Nylander out there through the middle of the ice again? Like, I'm a little puzzled why William Nylander wasn't given that opportunity to center the top line once again.
Yeah, I think I feel the exact same way about that. If I'm going to try to understand Sheldon Keefe's thinking on this, is that if you look at the lineup he iced last night a little bit, I mean, you know, you throw maybe less so Jordy Benn, but you throw Wayne Simmonds out there again, you're not giving yourself the best chance to win on any given night. Connor Timmins is a better option for this team than Jordy Benn, and I understood trying to get him in. But on the back half of a back-to-back, Keefe has been so adamant about the idea of experimenting, about trying things. Now, I would have liked the experiment to continue of William Nylander at center because I don't want to live in this world, but there's a very real one where Austin Matthews or John Tavares misses a playoff game and you need somebody who's really capable in your top six, and Nylander right now is far and away the best option there. So that is what I would have done. But if I'm going to try to understand Sheldon Keefe's thinking, it's, well, let's try out something else. Let's try a different mix up there. Let's not tax Nylander too much is maybe part of the thought as well. Not to say he couldn't handle it, and I'm sure he could, but that'd be my guess on the thinking there. But yeah, I'm with you. I would have liked to see Nylander at center because unless this team goes out and gets, you know, Bo Horvat or Ryan O'Reilly or a center who can flip to the wing or can flip back to center depending on where you need him, Nylander is far and away your best option for a top six center if one of those guys goes down. So I'm with you. I would have liked him to get the opportunity again.
Nylander over Matthews for the next Toronto Maple Leafs All-Star selection?
If there is one.
Yeah, sure. Austin Matthews clearly needs some time off. Although Nylander, I don't know if you guys saw the quotes. He was asked about this either after the game or yesterday. And disinterested is probably the best way I could put it. I think the quote was, I'd go if I got voted in. Wow, don't hold back the tears of joy in terms of the honor it would mean to you. I think it'd be cool for Nylander to go. It's far and away been his best season. Matthews has had the down year. And I know it's a fan vote, so the league isn't deciding this. Although, you know, who would know if they ever change the votes on us. You need Austin Matthews at your All-Star game. If the whole point of it is selling the game, Austin Matthews should be there. But in terms of deserving and storylines and just kind of shaking it up, quite frankly, yeah, Nylander absolutely deserves it.
Yep, and you need Pasternak, and you need Draisaitl, and you need Dahlin. You need a lot of guys that didn't get the initial bump, so we'll see how
you need Clayton Keller. You need him there.
Oh, he's going to break records for All-Star appearances because he's going to play in a team that's not really a team.
I got to say, he's living a pretty good life. Plays golf every day in Arizona. Never gets criticized, makes seven sheets a year.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good.
I mean, it actually doesn't get better. In fact, if you're one of the, like, not everyone has to have it burn like Patrice Bergeron, right? Like, if you're not Patrice Bergeron, what better spot than Arizona? Like, seriously, it would be an absolute dream. And old Phil Kessel, he enjoyed that for a little while. And he didn't move very far away with his next stop, and that might be related. Anyway, speaking of Arizona, Austin Matthews, as mentioned, maybe needs a break. Unclear why he needs the break, sickness, injury, load management, what have you. It's not a thing unless he misses Saturday's game, I think, versus Boston. But it brings up the point of load management and something that we probably won't see very much in the NHL, but maybe we should see. Where do you stand on load management in the Matthews situation?
I got no problem with it. I understood why they were really hesitant to do it last year. He was chasing something really special. First, it was the franchise. Well, first it was his first 50. Then it was the franchise record. And then it was the 60-goal season. You weren't going to take away opportunities from him to do that. And look, you know, Matthews is capable of getting hot like anybody else and throwing himself right back to a 50-goal pace in a heartbeat. So it's not to say he still can't have something to chase statistics-wise at the end of the season. But the thing that's concerning to me about it is if it was load management, I don't understand why they wouldn't just come out and say exactly that. Maybe it is the fact of Matthews doesn't want to be deemed as the guy to be doing that when you never hear that from any other star or player across the league, really. If that's what it is, I have no problem with it. But I'm concerned that it's not just straight load management. I'm sure there is something bugging him. They mentioned he was sick as well. Sheldon Keefe was really, really hesitant when asked at all to talk about the injury. Has it been hampering him? We're not going to get into details there. Yeah, it's a little concerning. If it's load management, they should just come out and say so. But, you know, with like you said, the culture of the game, it's just not really in something we see in the sport right now or ever. And so I understand why they're hesitant to. But if it is load management, they should just come out and say it because it would make me sleep a lot better.
I get the feeling that the guise of load management is what they're sort of encouraging because there's probably something going on. Like, I don't think they're doing, like, evaluations on every player medically with the Toronto Maple Leafs, and they decide that the one player who needs to be load managed is Matthews and not a guy like Mark Giordano or whatever. Like, you have the options there to at least rotate on defense
quickly, and they're not doing that. The Gio thing is really weird because, you know, I'm sure you guys are, you know, you're interviewing the same people I'm talking to, and every person to a man that you ask about, hey, Mark Giordano, he's 38 years old. Could he get a night off? And the prevailing sentiment seems to be that he doesn't want to because it basically is like you got an old car and it's like, who knows if it'll ever start again. It's running now. Let's just keep it going. And I understand the idea of that, but Gio is far and away the most prime candidate for that, followed quickly by John Tavares.
And Spezza didn't want that, but it did help him once they eventually convinced him, hey, if you sit down a little bit, maybe we can get a little bit more out of you when you're in the lineup. So it's tricky with Gio, and they might be right on Gio that if you shut him down, it might be hard to get that level back. But it just seems like if load management was part of their strategy, that they would have used it on someone else rather than Austin Matthews. But hey, maybe they're onto something that we're not. How big is Saturday for you?
It's big, especially the fact that I would have loved a chance for the Leafs to hand Boston the first home loss of the year. Seattle had to play spoiler there, and it was really, really nice because just what Boston needed before that game was a nice wake-up call to make sure they're nice and ready for the Leafs. It's a big test, you know. I think you guys asked me when I was on after a Tampa game this year how much it matters, and I'm going to give the exact same answer. It matters as much as any sane person should care about a regular season hockey game. This is a big one. Like, it really is. This is the team that you are 1,000% going to have to go through some way, shape, or form if you want to lift Lord Stanley's mug. And they've been unflappable this year, other than when the Leafs have played them. Leafs had a great game against this Boston team. I think that if Matthews isn't in the lineup, it does give you a little bit of an excuse, but I don't think that takes anything away from it. Boston's played without really important guys for them at times this year. It's a big, big game, and you know, I expect it'll be Murray that gets the start, but I think that'll tell you everything as well about how Sheldon Keefe feels about his goaltenders. I know he could just say it's a straight rotation and you're going back to Murray, but I do think it says something that if that's the guy he ends up going with. I think it's a big game, and honestly, I'm pumped for it. I'm really looking forward to it.
It feels like a while since they've had a litmus test like this. That's our favorite word on the Fan Morning Show.
If we say it every week?
Well, I find a way to shoehorn it in. Feels like a while since they played an opponent where we had circled this on the calendar. The stakes are high, as you mentioned. The Boston Bruins lose at home for the first time all season and regular season against the Kraken yesterday. So a lot of eyes on this game, but it seems inevitable at this point that it's probably going to be Tampa in the playoffs for the Maple Leafs. We're just past the midway point of the season as of like one game ago. Anything about the first half of the season that's giving you a push of confidence maybe that when they do match up against Tampa, most likely that it might be a different result?
Well, I think they played them really well in the two games they've. I think it's just the two they played this year. One was an overtime loss that was in Tampa, I think, and then the Leafs pasted them last time. They really carried the pace of play. I think that you have to believe that this Leafs team continues to make strides and continues to get better. And, you know, I know that I said the exact same thing heading into the Tampa series last year, but they can't keep doing this. They cannot just keep making deep run after deep run after deep run. It takes so much out of you. And then I think the other part of it as well is that the Leafs have been able to find a little bit of contributions in the bottom six. And I'm really just putting that on Pontus Holmberg. But I think having a guy like that that can come in, give you a little depth so it's not just a revolving door of Zach Aston Reese's in your bottom six. And then I think the defensive depth has really helped as well. That's the thing that's got to let you believe. And if one of these goalies can play the way they're capable of heading into the playoffs, I think you have a shot in the goaltending matchup. So I think the Leafs have proven they're a better team than Tampa in the regular season, but they proved that last year, and we saw what we saw with a game 7 loss. So yeah, I'm feeling as good as you possibly can, but I've seen this movie before, and I don't like the ending, although I am feeling a little more confident this year.
Are you in the boat that's actively concerned about the performance of Morgan Riley?
Not actively concerned. I just think it is not lost on me or anybody else how this team looked without him. And I think it is a little bit of a case of Morgan Riley having to tune his game a little bit to the version of this Leafs team that he's playing for. You know, when he came up, he was running gun, and he had to be such a big part of this team's offense. It doesn't have to be that way anymore. You still want Morgan Riley making aggressive offensive plays. He just needs to dial it back a little bit. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things to watch in the second half of the Leafs season with him specifically, is how can he kind of meld his not high risk but pushing the play offensive game with being just a little safer in a touch more low event. I think that's probably the big thing to watch for him.
Okay, you mentioned Pontus Holmberg, and we began the discussion talking about Bobby McMahon. It's interesting to see what the Marlies are producing nowadays. They've kind of turned their own situation around, a much more competitive team this year than in the past couple of years, where it seems like that depth was really like the Maple Leafs removed that depth, or at least the strength of that franchise with their dealings. But it seems like it's a pretty specific player that the Marlies can churn out. Not the superstar, not the future star, not that like goal scoring talent that could give you a little offensive push. It's the grinder, it's the diligent, defensively responsible player that tries to move the puck in the direction it's needing to go, with McMahon and Pontus Holmberg being the latest examples. Is this a real, what do you see this as? Is it a true like strength of the organization that they can sort of turn lesser lights into really positive depth contributors that can not give you much but keep the floor pretty high? Or would you like to see like some higher end talent guys come through the system and actually make a difference from an offensive perspective? Do you see, which way do you view the way the Marlies produce talent and support the Maple Leafs?
I think this is a pretty typical kind of good Marlies team, in that you look at it and all the guys are 28 years old and you're like, oh, there's not a prospect to be found down there. And that's kind of been the MO of this team. But to your point, they're able to bleed a little something out of it, a Bobby McMahon, somebody like that. Part of this is also just the case of where their prospects happen to be from. You know, if Matthew Knies wasn't a college kid, if he played in the OHL, I mean, he'd probably be in the NHL right now, but you would have seen him come up through that Marlies system. You'd feel a little differently about him. Obviously, Matthews, Marner, they just kind of slingshotted right past that. Nylander had a moment there. So I think part of it is the fact that they've given up so much high-end draft capital that they haven't had guys come through there. You know, a guy like Rodion Amarov, you would have seen him come through there. So I think that's part of the calculus as well. But I definitely think there is something the Leafs are able to do. And, you know, I imagine part of it is the player development resources they have, that they can take a guy, you know, we'll use Bobby McMahon as a perfect example, undrafted, 26 years old, and they say, we can work with him a little bit. And they probably just have more resources to throw at players like that than other teams. And then I think the other part of it as well is that they really need guys. Like, you get your chances, and you've seen that. Joey Anderson's got looks. Semyon Durkachinsev has got looks. A lot of guys have come through, and that's just because of the cap crunch the Leafs have found themselves in. Not all that different from other teams, but they don't have that middle class like a lot of other teams do, so these guys are getting looks. That's what I'm seeing down there at the Marlies. You'd love to have, you know, a 20-year-old stud who looks like he's going to come into your top six, and like I said, part of that is that Knies is in college and everything that happened with Rodion Amarov, but part of it is as well just the way they kind of handle that team. It is much older than kind of your typical AHL team.
All right, Gunnar, Kipper this week... making the news dump, the little breaking insider scoop that the NHL All-Star Game is most likely, probably, potentially coming to Toronto next year. Does that excite you? And second of all, what would be your Toronto-themed event? You know how they always have something like, you know, the Florida meat pucks, the dunk tank, the Vegas strip with the, you know, the Bellagio in the background. How do you, Toronto, hype this up?
That's
Toronto-wise.
I do love that the All-Star Game's back. It just gives me warm and fuzzies. Like, I remember when it came here in 2000 and you had North America versus the world. I would like to see that. It's just kind of a fun little throwback to when the last time the All-Star Game was here. I think the obvious one is, like, doing something off of the edge walk at the CN Tower, but that seems like a good way to kill somebody, and I don't think the NHL wants either a player or a pedestrian to die involved in that. So I think there's something there, or I don't know, like, the All-Star Game's in February. Can we not just, like, freeze the lake? There's a there's a giant lake just south of the rink. Can we can we do something with that? I don't know. That, like, I am more of an ideas man. I get the ideas churning, and then someone else should turn that into something good. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, let's do some pond hockey out on Lake Ontario.
What if they make everybody drive across Eglinton, and it's just a race, and who can get through Eglinton Avenue the quickest, dodge the most potholes, and get the least frustrated? That's how you put the All-Stars through the ringer.
You could wear a heart rate monitor or whatever. Keep their cool on Eglinton. That's awesome.
Nick Ritchie Memorial Award. You want to ask about that, Justin?
Well, we did quarterly awards, right, with Gunner. We just did ours. Or halfway point without Gunner, but I love the Nick Ritchie Memorial Award for the biggest disappointment for the Maple Leafs. There's not many. I don't think we had really a good answer. Do you have a good answer? Who would you give the Nick Ritchie Memorial Award to at the halfway point, Gunner?
Yeah, he's not even here. It's like when a guy comes back to get his championship ring after you've traded him. Dennis Malgin, come on up, baby.
Oh, yeah.
We all said, I'm pretty sure when you guys asked me about this, I said it was too easy to pick him because it was so clear what was going to happen. He's going to have a couple of moments, then he'd get in the top six, and nothing would happen. That's exactly what happened. Now, I don't know what Dryden Hunt's doing around here, but I think a little more than Dennis Malgin. So he's no longer here. He has to get it. Like, we will give him the award whenever the Avs are here. I think that's later this year. But yes, that's what needs to happen. The Dennis Malgin Award now.
Okay, last one for you. The top six that you want to see, blue line, going into the postseason. We've seen eight defensemen recently. Who would you want to see as the top six, and how they're formatted and how they're arranged? And if there is a spot where you think there can improve, because I think this is subjective. Is it replacing Sandin? Is it replacing Hall? I mean, maybe not anymore by the way he's played. What would you like to see based on what they have now? And if they can make that big improvement, where do you see that opportunity to improve?
So with the D, I think it's pretty simple. Barring a trade, because if I make a trade, I'm not opposed to sending out a defender, but I don't think that's where my big swing is. If I'm making a big swing with this Leafs team, it's up front. Okay. I want a left-wing center type. So I'm rolling with Riley and Brody, Giordano Hall, Sandin Liljegren, and if it needs to happen, and it better be the right deal, obviously, I do think there's a world where you can move out one of Sandin or Liljegren. Maybe Sandin's the guy and Timmins slides in on the bottom pair, or maybe you stick righty-righty and somebody, now if it's Liljegren, you better be getting a really nice piece back, but that's where I go. Barring one of those two young Swedes not being dealt, I want them in the lineup, and Giordano Hall and Riley and Brody. That's what I think is the best set for this D, and sorry, Connor Timmins, I love you, but it's just you're not one of the best six on this team.
Nope, certainly it looks like he's starting to fade a little bit, at least in terms of impact. Great start, and he's still, you know, 7-8. That's great, but it looks like that top six, as you outlined, is definitely the way that they have to go, and we'll see if they, in fact, add and who might be removed from the equation when and if we get there. Gunner, this was fun. We appreciate you coming on after a game night, and we'll chat soon before we, you know, another quarter goes by and we revisit the Nick Ritchie Memorial Award.
All right, Dennis Malgin. He should have it named after him. It was just as brutal.
He should. Maybe we do rebrand next year.
Maybe. Hey, your show. I'm just throwing ideas. I'm an idea man.
There you go.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks, Gunner. That's Brent Gunning, co-host of Leafs Nation, Gordon Stellar.
I think I'm on to something with Eglinton, a TTC-themed event, like Subway, Surfers.
Yeah, TTC is interesting. The only thing I could think of was, I mean, they do everything at Nathan Phillips Square. Surely they're going to do something. But that was a great idea. If you can... this is your secret spot in the city, though, hey, playing shinny out there.
The one area
that gets frozen on Lake Ontario.
Amazing. I'm trying to figure out what month that was.
There's still waves crashing all throughout winter.
You know, it's not even close. I'm pulling up that photo. That was taken February 24th. So it's that was prime
pretty much
ice
right
time.
On online, yeah. I'm sure they could figure out a way to create like a little outdoor event. Maybe they could do...
It's got to be with the CN Tower in the background.
Maybe they could do one of the more common events, like if you're doing the accuracy shooting and the pucks are flying like off the crossbar into snowbanks and into the lake. That'd be pretty cool. You figure out a way to do that. I think that's the best idea we have so far. You're not putting anyone on the CN Tower.
Well, whoever that guy is, the NHL content guy, I think...
Steve Mayer.
That's him. Free info, free advice, free ideas from the Fan Morning Show.
That guy's got a pretty good job, eh?
That'd be pretty fun.
He's perfected the outdoor game now. He can just do crazy stuff, meat pucks, alligators. I think PETA's going to be mad at him, though.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Let's see what happens there.
All right, well, send in your wake and rake picks. Well, you have 5 minutes to do so. The Leafs not in action. The Raptors not in action. They do both have games this weekend. If you have any thoughts on that, you can always send that in. But we need games from tonight. Not too many NHL games in action. We got full slate of NBA and then Justin's wild card pick from tonight's action, today's action.
I believe it's tonight.
Tonight. The timing is weird.
They're
in
Hawaii.
Okay, he just teased it. It's a golf pick. That's next. And the Wake and Rake with Justin and Ailish.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With Ailish and Justin.
All right, it's time for the finale of our week. The Wake and Rake featuring Pick a Side.
Super wild card weekend.
Lots at stake. The current score, 25-20. A big opportunity for us, Justin. We did go 3-for-3 last week, but barely made up any ground. So this is a time where wins become losses and losses become wins.
Scott Hansen? I always mess up his first name.
Red Zone King.
Scott Hansen. Well, he carries us through. He carries us through an entire season.
He's done his season now. So
he's done his
job.
We move on. We move forth.
We must use his passion and his enthusiasm for our pick aside this weekend. But we're having a little bit of a dilemma.
Ah, I don't know if we're having a dilemma.
And now it's time for Pick a Side on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
New season. Regular season to postseason. New season, new rules. We're going through game by game. You don't get to pick your spot in this. Trying to make things a little uncomfortable for the boys behind the glass. They're pushing back
on it.
They
don't like this idea, though, Danielle.
Well, I'm trying to mess up their rhythm here.
Well, this is where the problem
is. And I'm overriding.
Well,
I also said it in the 6 o'clock hour, and there's no pushback, and now you're throwing this at us?
First off, this was never broached. It should be broached before the show begins.
Mm-mm. Keeping you off balance.
We game planned accordingly to prepare.
Exactly.
And this is not how there's no fairness in this.
Unfortunately, we kind of have the trump card here in my hands. I'm holding it in my hand, the trump card. And this
So what do you want to do, Justin?
We're going to go game by game. I want people to make picks when they're a little uncomfortable. We get a little bit too, we like this, we like this, we like this, we like this. I want you to make a tough decision behind the glass back there. And that's why we're going game by game, heads or tails, Daniele and Josh. Heads or tails, boys.
Oh, you make the call. We're not calling it.
Okay, we are heads. So if heads gets flipped, we go first. I have a random generator here. It is tails. The first pick belongs to you.
Now, do we get to pick, or how does this work?
You know, the first game is what?
So we have to go
Seattle, San Fran. Let's get a pick.
Okay, the 49ers.
Okay, 49ers.
Wait, just quickly, which... We need to say the lines out loud because I'm seeing them different on different books. Do you want to do one book together?
Sure.
Okay.
The one that I have in front of me here is 9.5.
Okay.
9.5. So you're picking the 49ers, 9.5.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I'm viewing as well.
We have went that way?
We also liked that. I just need to make a list here.
I kind of like Seattle, so I'm kind of happy with the result. I do wish it was 10, and if it gets to 10, I will bet it in with real dollars, because I feel like 10 is a lot for a playoff game. They're expecting some weather elements there, which could be a bit of a problem. So I feel like it could get a little greasy, and if it's greasy, it could be a good thing for us here.
All right, so that kicks off Saturday, 4:30 p.m., Seahawks at the Niners. They are going Niners minus 9.5, which means we get Seahawks plus 9.5. So Saturday night, Chargers at the Jags. Chargers minus 2.5 on the road. This one was probably the most difficult for me to pick a side.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you were real confident about this one.
Well, I lied to you. I think we are going Chargers minus 2.5.
We're definitely going Chargers minus 2.5.
Okay, well, there we go.
I'll gladly take the Jags.
Okay, so
well, that's your team.
So we're happy back
look,
there.
Look, everything's going good so far, everybody. Everyone's happy.
Guys, this is just a silly gimmick. We don't have to, like, it's not like the end of the world if you don't get the team you want.
It is.
Okay.
We don't even know what the stakes are. We also don't know what we're playing
exactly.
for at this point.
It's like
we're just playing.
It's not like thousands of dollars on the line. We are on the Chargers this week, and we're happy about it because Justin Herbert, I believe, is the more refined quarterback, more ready for this moment. Brandon Staley terrifies me a little bit, but I'm cool with the Chargers. I'm happy we got that pick.
All right, you guys got Sunday, 1 p.m., Dolphins at the Bills. We're seeing it 13.5.
Yep.
Okay.
This one's tough.
That exasperated sigh
this one's tough.
Is what I wanted.
You know what? I'm not. I know it's a huge number. I think we're gonna go Bills. Damn it! I think we're gonna go Bills.
I think that's the right call.
The number makes me nervous, but it's really hard right now to go against the Bills.
I think you're going to get
even at 13.5.
I even think you're going to get closing line value on that. I think it's going to close 14. I think the Bills. I think the Bills are going to absolutely demolish them. We were watching Scott Hansen and Red Zone and not really paying attention necessarily to every snap in that game between the Jets and the Dolphins. But the Dolphins couldn't do anything. They're banged up at receiver. They're banged up at quarterback. Their third string guy is likely going to start and he's hurt. Like, I just think they're going to get completely overwhelmed.
All right.
So we got Giants-Vikings.
So Giants-Vikings. I want the Giants.
Giants plus 3.
I want the Giants.
Yeah.
Underdog city. This is the game where an underdog will win.
I hate the
money line.
I hate the line because
three
I think
sucks.
There's a decent...
It was just at 3.5, too.
Oh, if it was 3.5, we'd be
but
partying in here.
It's currently at 3. Is everyone seeing it at 3 on their books? Because we're dialing this in
three,
now.
The
okay?
consensus.
It's 3. Hey,
I think there's a good chance we push this.
So we need to have right now, what happens if we push? Just nothing?
It's not a win nor a loss.
That sucks.
So either way, I think the most reasonable outcome is what Vegas has it at.
Yeah.
Vikings to win a close game. Giants to keep it close, as they always do. Minnesota to make it really tricky, as it always does. But if I had to be on one side of it, Vikings to win by margin doesn't seem like something that's going to happen with regularity in a playoff game. So I think the Giants are the right pick for us.
Giants plus 3. All right, we're Sunday night now. Ravens at the Bengals. I'm seeing it at 9.5 for the Bengals.
Yeah, correct. 9.5. Cincinnati, 9.5.
Yep, that's what I would have picked too.
I would have picked the Ravens. I'm waiting for it to get to 10. I don't care that there's a third stringer. I think these games get greasy. I think the Ravens are going to put an honest effort. I think Cincinnati's going to have protection problems. I do think it'll be Burrow in the end, but I'm waiting for a 10 in the real world, and I'd probably have to pick the 9.5. So I'm glad we didn't have an issue there because I think we would have been battling for that one.
All right, final pick, Monday Night Football, Cowboys at the Bucks. Bucks plus 2.5. We're going Bucks.
Are we going Bucks?
We talked about this before. You liked Bucks, didn't you?
I do. I wish it was 3.
Well, it's not.
It's like the perfect number. It's so annoying how this number is
so
perfect.
Well, we got to pick, buddy.
But I will. I think the Bucks are going to win. So we got to pick it.
Pick 2.5.
If it's 3, I'd be just like running to the sports book. 3.5, I'd be running, I guess, sprinting to the sports book. I just can't shake the feeling that Tom Brady's got one more for us.
Yeah. Is this his last game as a Buck? I don't know. I think they can find a way.
Like
playoff magic, Tom Brady.
Clearly they were better last year, but I've had flashbacks of that comeback against the Rams last year where Stafford basically prevented the Rams from suffering a complete catastrophe with that late game play to get them back in field goal range to have them slip back ahead. But they were actively giving that game away because the Buccaneers were, and behind Brady, were furiously coming back. I do think Dallas is going to get out front. I think it's a live betting spot for me. I might wait, see if Dallas gets ahead, and then come back on the Bucs, because I don't trust Dallas to close the game, and I trust Brady to make things happen in the fourth quarter in the second half. So I'm looking to live bet that game, but for now, I will accept the 2.5 with the Buccaneers.
Okay, so let's run it down. Our Super Wild Card weekend selections. Behind the glass, Niners, 9.5, Bills, 13.5, and Bengals, 9.5. I would have selected all three of those, so.
Chalky over there behind the glass.
Well, you know, despite your best efforts to throw us off our game,
yeah, you guys
we essentially
all good, right?
Got all the picks we wanted.
Okay, so everything worked
there
out.
There you go, and then yeah. No pouting afterwards.
Okay, so we got Chargers -2.5, Giants +3, and Bucks +2.5, so.
I actually think we got the ones we wanted, too.
No, I didn't want.
Yeah, you did. You wanted the Giants. You wanted the Bucks.
And then how did that
you
work?
You wanted
that
the Chargers.
Oh, you, sorry, there were two that you didn't really like love that we got.
We were never going to agree on Baltimore Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I didn't really want to lay 13.5 with Buffalo. Like, I would have picked Buffalo, but I don't love the line.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of think the Seahawks are going to cover.
All
but
right.
I don't know
well, then everyone's happy. So that's our pick aside this week to kick off the Super Wild Card Wednesday weekend. So best of luck. May the odds be ever in our favor. Now, Leafs weekend, Raptors weekend, nothing tonight, but let's get your Wake and Rake pick in there because it's fun. It's different. It's going to change the vibes around the show.
Yeah, I don't know how fun or different it is, but I will
I think it's both fun and both different.
If you love watching golf in January late at night in Hawaii and you kind of get like a little jealous, you might enjoy
big
it.
Time.
But I'm looking to back Jordan Spieth. Now, Jordan Spieth's had a pretty good start to this year. He's only had one tournament to play in.
So far, so good.
But at the Century, he came in 13th, had a decent round in all four rounds. He is the co-leader of the tournament after the first round at the Sony Open again in Hawaii. And he's got a three-ball matchup today against Zach Johnson and Billy Horschel. He's a -105 favorite in that matchup. So close to even money for him to have the best score between those three golfers
Where
and
I'm
in his
seeing
pairing.
It, +110, buddy.
Even better. Even
Find
better.
The juice. Get the money. I'm seeing it at +110.
Spread it around. Billy Horschel was +2 in his opening round. It's Hawaii.
Mm.
He's unlikely to make the cut. He probably is taking the chance to, you know, like he's not going to fight and scratch and claw and try to make the cut. He's going to enjoy his weekend in Hawaii, at least in my opinion. And Zach Johnson is washed. Jordan Spieth has a legitimate shot to win this tournament. He's going to want to put himself in a good position. Heading into the weekend, Jordan Spieth to win his group today. -105, +110, wherever you get it. I think it's a good pick at even money.
All right. I like it. It's fun. It's different. And I've been watching White Lotus. And so I'll tune into any time I get to watch something in Hawaii.
You're still in the Hawaii season.
I'm still there. I've been busy, okay? I got this weekend to watch White Lotus. Okay. My selection comes from the NHL. There's only three games on tonight. I'm picking a 10 p.m. start. Sorry. Devils on the puck line over the Ducks. It's only -112 where I'm seeing it. The Devils have been road dogs. The Ducks are a bad franchise, and I think that I'm just gonna pick the team that's better.
That's fair. I was looking at the Devils team total.
I also had
3.5 because I don't trust Anaheim to get much done themselves, but it was pretty juiced. So
yeah.
I think
so
you've identified
the best of both worlds.
I think you've identified the right bet there.
Okay, so we got a lot of anchor picks to go through. Let's start with Adam the Truck. Good morning, Rakers. When Michael Bunting said the dad's trip was like their Super Bowl, I didn't realize they were going to play it like the 1994 Buffalo Bills. Well, that's rude. Still can't believe we beat Nashville. Speaking of Buffalo, what the HE double hockey sticks is going on there? Tage must not want the Hart Trophy. Hey, Justin, what are the futures for the Kraken winning the Cup? It's okay. I looked. +1,500 seems like a decent investment. Without Austin Matthews on Saturday, Boston's going to be ugly. This week has been brutal. I'm having trouble picking a seat in my own truck. I'm just going to lay the rest of the week's bankroll on Randall over rebound. Seems like as certain as the sun coming up today. Good luck on all wild card weekend, Adam in the Truck.
I hate the Kraken as a Stanley Cup favorite. I mean, come on. They're not going to win the Stanley Cup as much as they have been a very, very good story this year. I will say Julius Randle is a Hall of Famer.
He might be automatic.
I got a DM yesterday from Infamous D, who said Nick Claxton of the Brooklyn Nets is also in Hall of Fame territory, where he continuously covers.
We'll put it in the text line, Infamous D.
I know. I don't know. He should have. He did it after the show and all that. But consistently OG-like steals and rebounds, or steals and blocks, rather. And I bet it. Blind tail. It hit. He was right.
Was my phone not in service to send me that message, or?
It was.
Interesting.
No, I guess it was. I'm sorry. I should have passed that
Thanks
along.
Thanks for that. Good teammate. Lightning 60-minute hit yesterday. Let's keep the streak going. My play today's Devils 60-minute line. This is Gary from Caledon. Let's just keep going. Big Mac, Oilers on the money line tonight. Feels good to be back at home. I like anything Oilers. I think the over in that game more than anything else. I totally agree. Reimer and Campbell having a rough year in net. Familiar faces. Hey, guys, Ken on the 400 again. Kraken plus 1.5. Remember me? Yeah, I thought about you immediately, Ken. Tonight, sure thing is over in the Sharks and the Oilers game. Totally agree. Oilers have covered 6 of the last 10. Sharks, 8 out of their last 10.
Okay, lots of thoughts here. But Oilers and the over seems to be getting some support.
Yep.
They are on the road in San Jose in the nightcap. They are minus 160 favorites in that game. Yeah, goals from the Oilers. All sounds like a reasonable proposition.
All right. Corey in Port Hope. Good morning. Happy Friday to you all. Today for my wake and rake pick, I'll take Connor McDavid anytime goal scorer at even money.
Okay. More Oilers support.
All right. John and Ron and Juliana and Markham. Happy Friday. Let's consider the Hall of Fame as our newly inducted player. Randall's going again since he's been inducted. Take Randall over rebounds tonight and look at the alternate rebound total as you'll get better odds for 12, 13, et cetera. Look at these guys scoping it out. Juliana's so excited that Steph is back to playing tonight. Over 60,000 fans will be attending. And this is where Steph will shine. She says to take Steph over points. So he'll shine in the dome.
The Alamo Dome. We're playing at the Alamo Dome tonight?
Yeah, it's a big game.
Okay.
For wild card, we can take the Niners as a lock, and the upset special will come from my Giants.
There it is.
There you go.
Right.
Ron and Juliana. All right, Eric in Burlington. Good morning. Happy Friday. I'm so fired up for playoff football. Vikings are back. Packers are not. Love it. Normally don't bet on my teams. So it's not going to change. He did not send in a pick for today. He's just talking about the weekend. So sorry, Eric in Burlington. Thanks for all your football stuff. Good morning, Wake and Rakers. Let's finish this week going 3 for 3. I'm going to keep it with Randall over rebounds. That's Jag and Scarborough.
This is a Randall rebound show.
And finally, Cody in St. Catharines, my anchor pick. I'm going CJ McCollum over 3.5 threes. It's a solid bet. He's on fire, and I've seen it as a plus number 5 in a row and 6 out of the last 7.
Okay, you put your pick in, right? Devils?
Yep, Devils on the puck line.
So we don't have a Toronto sports game to choose from tonight. We could go back to Randall. It seems like, I don't know, maybe we shouldn't mess with a good thing, but also, I don't know, we should pick Randall rebounds every single time we get a chance this week.
What if we do a four leg and we just automatically put Randall rebounds in there? It's kind of fun. It's
okay.
Friday.
All
just
right.
Live a little.
All right.
I'm putting it in.
We're struggling with the three legs, but that's mostly my doing. So I'll let you do what you want to do.
Okay. I like the Oilers over. I like Julius Randle. So we've already put that in. Why don't we do Oilers over? We got a couple votes for that.
I think the Oilers over is a good one. Oilers over 6.5 with the Sharks. We got maybe the Norris Trophy winner. We got maybe the Hart Trophy winner. A lot of talent on the ice. Maybe not so much goaltending. It seems like over 6.5 is a decent spot to be in.
Okay, let's get spicy on a Friday. Let's put all four in there.
If you want, Randall, throw it in there.
Our
if you don't,
Hall of Fame
whatever.
Should just always be a lock. Until he's not in the Hall of Fame and he gets his green jacket ripped off him, like, let's keep it in there.
Oh, I thought we were doing golden jackets.
Oh, I was thinking golf. Get your golf bag.
I was thinking NFL.
Okay, well.
This is a basketball player. Do you get a jacket if you go into the Basketball Hall of Fame?
I don't know.
Well, either way.
We'll look it up.
Whatever jacket fits, he's earned it.
So we're putting him in there just for fun. You don't have to, but I think we should. So you have Jordan Spieth to win today over his buddies. That's plus money where I'm seeing it. Devils on the puck line over the Ducks. Randall over 11.5 rebounds. Or you can find alternate lines like our scavengers, Juliana and Ron, mm-hmm. who are sharps. 11.5 is what I'm seeing. And over in the Oilers and Sharks game, which has been a multiple text line anchor pick, if you put those four together, you can start your weekend with plus 1249.
Going to feel really bad if the late night three ball Spieth, Johnson, and Horschel and Spieth doesn't walk off.
When does that tee 18? Off?
I think he'll be in the second group, so it'll be, we're talking primetime golf. Like, he'll be golfing till about 10 p.m., I think.
Nice. Be sitting on the couch watching golf on a Friday night. It's a beautiful
sight.
Waiting
to see if you're plus 1,200 cashes.
Okay, no Toronto sports in action this weekend, but you have Super Wild Card weekend. You have Leafs in their big litmus test against the Bruins on the road Saturday night, 7 p.m. You got the Raptors hosting the Hawks on Saturday night as well. Wow, Saturday is going to be a viewing experience, two NFL games as well. And then, of course, full day on Sunday. We'll be back on Monday, and the Raptors play a 3 p.m. game on Monday just to throw your days off.
I love it. I can deal with
that.
And
then, of course, Monday Night Football on.
Oh, that's why.
That's why. You can't go up against that. Well, it's been a great week on the Fan Morning Show. Hopefully, we're in snowman territory on Monday morning for Justin.
Enjoy Super Wild Card Weekend.
Talk to you Monday.